Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast. My name is Erica, and I'm the creator of Bring Your Own Kombucha, which obviously is a podcast, but it's also a blog. For first-time listeners, this podcast focuses on health and wellness, and it's not just about being fit and eating the right foods. We also incorporate a lot of mental health and spiritual relationships, and we kind of encompass it all, the mind, body, and soul. So I hope that each and every one of you find an episode or many of the episodes that resonate with you. Now, today's guest is Holly from Healthy Living with Holly. And Holly actually has her own podcast. She's a blogger. She's a marathoner. And she actually resides in Canada. And she is a wealth of information. She gives us tons of running tips, you know, everything from the right running shoes to what she likes to work out in to how you build yourself up to a marathon. Personally, I love to run, but I'm definitely not as, how can I say this mildly? I'm not as extreme as Holly. I definitely don't run marathons. You know, 5K is around what I like to run. Even now that I'm pregnant, I tend to just go on 2 mile, light jogs. I don't do anything crazy. But even still, I was able to relate to Holly and pick up a lot of great tips from her. And I found that it was just really encouraging from her angle, telling us about her love-hate relationship with running and how she kind of worked through that. And I also found it really interesting that she doesn't listen to music while she runs. Well, most of the time, which is really difficult for me because I'm the exact opposite. I'm like, if I don't have my headphones, if my phone is dead, I'm like, sorry, can't run today. Like, I'm not doing it. So, like I said, there's a lot of great tips from Holly in this episode. And before we jump in, I want to give a very special thank you to the podcast sponsor, Casandrinos Olive Oil. What I love about Casandrinos olive oil is that their olives are actually hand-picked from century-old trees located in Laconia, Greece. And the olives are actually sourced and pressed within 48 hours of harvest. And another fun fact about them is that they only sell the current year's harvest of olive oil, as opposed to, you know, most store-bought brands, which can be many years on the shelves or many years old. And as with everything else, the fresher the olive oil, the better. You can truly taste the difference between Casandrinos olive oil and other store-bought brands. If you want to purchase your own Casandrinos olive oil, you can head over to casandrinos.com. That's casandrinos.com. And if you use the code kombucha, you'll save an extra 10%. Or you can also find them on Amazon, which is really convenient. And I also want to mention that if you head over to iTunes after you listen to this podcast and you write and review the podcast, I'll send you a sample of Casandrinos olive oil. They have these cute little miniature size travel packets that I like to use for, you know, lunch, so I don't have to like bring the whole bottle with me, or when I'm on the go. Actually, I just ran out of my bottle the other day, and I've been using my travel size packets, and it's so easy because it's like the perfect amount when I'm preparing dinner. So if you feel inclined, definitely let me know, send me a screenshot, email it to me, message it to me, and let me know that you've reviewed the podcast, and I will definitely send some your way. And now, without further ado, let's jump into today's episode. Hi, Holly, and welcome to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I am super excited.
So am I. Let's jump right in. So for those who might not be familiar with your blog or your Instagram, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So my name is Holly Douglas. I live in a small city / town on Vancouver Island. I'm from British Columbia, Canada. I blog over at healthylivingholly.com. It's mostly a lifestyle and primarily running-based blog where I kind of share my journey through my fitness endeavors, my running, training. In October, I ran a marathon, so that was a big focus over on the blog. And that's kind of my side hustle, you could say. 9 to 5, I'm an office coordinator at a structural steel manufacturer, I guess you could say. So totally night and day, but blogging is definitely something that I love, and I love to share my journey with other people and hope to inspire other people.
You definitely inspire everyone, because literally every time I see that you like ran 7 miles this morning, I'm like, oh my God, I need to go outside and at least run one.
Yeah, totally. The early alarms are definitely not the greatest, but I do feel better once I start my day with some kind of movement or workout, and just sets the tone for the whole day.
Now, are you the type of runner who likes to go first thing in the morning, or can you really run like any time of the day? Because I know personally for me, like, I do my best on an empty stomach and I run faster earlier in the day.
Yeah, so I used to be strictly only in the morning only. Only in the morning only. Okay. I was working at a bank before when I was like in the depth of my marathon training. So the morning was really the only time that I could do it, because after, I don't know, like, you might be in a client-facing job as well, but dealing with people all day, I had no motivation to do anything but lounge on the couch and watch Netflix after work. So at that point, I was definitely more of a get up and do it first thing in the morning. Now my job is a little bit more flexible, so if I want to do it in the morning, I can. If I want to do a workout class after work, I'm off work at 4:30 every day, and so I still kind of have that evening to get my run in or get my workout in. So right now I would say that like at least 2 to 3 times per week I'm working out early in the morning, and then maybe another 2 days I'll squeeze something in the evening or not. I've definitely become more flexible in my methods. So I guess I'm like 50-50 on early morning and at night. Sometimes a good nighttime run after the workday is really good to just clear your mind and de-stress.
You're right. I actually didn't think about that. There have been times where I've come home from work and I'm like, I need to go for a good run and just kind of like decompress a little bit.
Oh, for sure. Or it's like, oh, I really want to make it to that yoga class because I just need to unwind. And I know the yoga studio around me, they don't offer super early morning classes, because realistically, I would have to have a class at 5 or 5:30 in the morning so I can make it to work for like 7:45. So it's all just being, I guess, flexible in the way that you accommodate your workouts into your schedule and just finding something that works depending on the day.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that. So how did you start running? Like, when was the first time that you decided like, oh, I'm just gonna go like out for like a 2 mile run, and like, how did you really get your start in it?
That's a good question, because I kind of dabbled with running when I was in, I want to say, grade 7, and to be honest, it all kind of started from, oh, I think I need to lose weight, so maybe I should try to run around the block. That didn't last very long for me because I hated it. And running can be very difficult when you first start out. And so when I went for that first run, I don't think I went for another run for like a year after, because I thought, no, I'm not cut out for this. And so it wasn't really until, I guess, the beginning of grade 12, so that would be like my senior year in high school, I just began taking my fitness a little bit more seriously. And at that point, I had discovered healthy living and fitness bloggers. And so that was a big inspiration for me. And so, yeah, I would say grade 12, I started to officially train. And I use air quotes because I didn't have a training plan. I just kind of winged it like I do everything in life. And so I started training for my first 5K race when I was, I guess I'd be 17 or 18 at that point. And yeah, just the combination of running and then reading what other people were doing in their journey and their wellness. And that just kind of gave me more motivation to keep going. And I had been running ever since then. So it's been almost, what's that? Like 8 years since I like officially started to run. And yeah, time flies. I had to do the math there.
That's a lengthy time to be like, you know, fully dedicated to running and your workout. Mm-hmm. So what are three tips you would give to a newbie runner? Somebody who's like, you know, I really want to start incorporating running into my routine. But you know, even from my point of view, like, I feel like I'm not good at it. I feel like I'm not fast. I'm so tired afterwards. What would be like three tips that you would give me?
Yeah. So a couple things that I wish I knew when I started running. I knew the importance of getting fitted for a good running shoe, which is definitely super important because you don't want your feet to get injured because they have to carry you through all of your training, your workouts, everything. So definitely get a good pair of shoes. But something I didn't know was you need a good sports bra. And I was just the kind of person, I would wear my regular bra, and I bought like a 3-pack of Fruit of the Loom cheap cotton sports bras from Walmart. And I would put one of those on top of my regular bra, and I would be running along thinking, why am I so uncomfortable? And it wasn't until I invested in a good sports bra for the girls that I realized just how important a sports bra is for running. So definitely a good sports bra. Something that I still kind of, I guess you could say, struggle with these days when it comes to motivation and feeling, okay, this is hard, is honestly just kind of unplugging from Instagram for a little while, because there's tons of inspiring runners and fitness people on Instagram. But at the same time, if you're just starting out and you're seeing all these people dropping 6-minute miles for a marathon, of course I'm going to compare myself to them and think, oh my God, that's like so unrealistic for me. I'm just starting. I'm not as fast as them. And then you kind of get into that negative mindset. So I know before the marathon, I would check into Instagram every now and then, but I just didn't want to get my vision clouded by what everyone else was doing. So I guess in the beginning, a good thing to keep in mind is to kind of keep your blinders on and stay away from what everyone else is doing, because you're on your own journey and it's important for you to do what's right for you. And if a 12-minute mile is comfortable for you right now, then that's great. And eventually you will progress if you keep on putting in the work. So number one, get a good sports bra. Number two, don't compare yourself to what other people are doing on social media. And number three,
the shoes.
Yeah, shoes for sure. So I think those are my top three.
What do you have, like, a favorite pair of running shoes? Like, what brand do you typically go to?
I've been running in Mizuno's. The very first pair of running shoes that I ever got were Adidas Addi Zero. I don't know the model number, but they were hot pink. I felt super fast when I ran in them. And so even just buying a new pair of shoes is good motivation to get going. But I've kind of stuck with the Mizuno brand for a while now, probably for the last 3 years. I've ran in Brooks. They make some really good runners. Asics are always a nice supportive shoe. My mom actually has super flat arches, and so that's something that If you go to a running store, they can properly assess your foot type, what kind of arch you have, if you overpronate, underpronate. There's all these little things that go into finding a good running shoe. So, yeah, Mizuno have been my diehard for the last 3 years. So, yeah, I would say they are my favorite right now.
I love that. And what are you, like, what kind of brand of sports bras and, like, running pants and, you know, gear do you typically wear? Do you, like, go to, like, the typical, like, Lululemon, or is there, like, an Athleta? Do you have, like, a particular favorite?
I am super hashtag basic, and I love Lululemon. A lot of my running pants are from Lulu, but it's because I just find that they last a really long time, so I don't need to be buying a new pair of pants every couple of months because they're getting worn in. Plus, they always have good pockets in most of their pants, so that's nice for early morning runs when I want to take my cell phone just for safety precautions. And as far as sports bras, Adidas makes a really good racer back style. I have the same bra in black and like a hot pink and purple that I really like. Lululemon, they make a good sports bra called the Tata Tamer. That was the first sports bra that I really invested in. I think it was like $60. And at the time I was 18 and I thought, oh my gosh, this is so expensive. Why would I spend this kind of money on a sports bra called the Tata Tamer? Like, yeah. But it wasn't until I ran in it that I was like, okay, I understand. And now the price point is, it's $60 and who cares? But yeah, so definitely Lululemon, they make some really good running tops and jackets. And their stuff is cute, which I like to say I don't think about that, or I don't really care about what my workout clothes look like. But everybody feels good when you buy a new workout outfit and you're like, yeah, I'm doing this bar class. Oh, did you see my new pants that I got? Yeah, they're from Lululemon.
I totally agree. When you, like, put on your new running shoes and you have, like, your new pair of, like, Lululemons, a new sports bra, there's just, like, a sense of confidence that you just exude when you have, totally, like, that new outfit on. You're, like, ready to, you know, hit the ground running.
Yeah. And I always find I run faster when I have, like, a new anything. It's like, oh, I need to make sure that I'm giving it my all the first time I run in this shirt or these pants. So, yeah, it can definitely be good motivation, and it can be a good little treat for yourself if you've done something. Say you just did your first race and you're going to treat yourself to a new top or a new pair of running shorts or something. So it can kind of go both ways, motivation and reward.
Yeah, definitely. I'm all about bribing myself. Like, yeah. I can definitely get those pants if I go running 3 times this week.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, that's me for sure.
So I actually thought it was interesting that your third tip was to kind of be mindful of how much you're on Instagram for a new B runner. And I guess it didn't cross my mind that, you know, just like with anything else in the world, whether you're cooking or, you know, being a mom or whatnot, like the comparison game is always real. And that could definitely affect you as a runner as well. So have you, like, ever had any issues with that, with, you know, the comparison game, and especially with, like, running and running times? And, like, how did you work through that?
Oh, for sure. I think the most important thing for me is that when I catch myself comparing myself to others, especially, like, I follow some runners on Instagram that have qualified with an Olympic time. So for a woman, that means, I think the standard is running a marathon, so a full 26.2 miles under 2 hours and 50 minutes, I think. And so I follow some really freaking fast people online, and it can be difficult thinking, oh, well, you know, I've taken a week off of running and this person just qualified for their Olympic standard time. Like, what am I doing wrong? And so for me, I've been really getting into the practice of just squashing negative thoughts as soon as they come into my head. So I kind of caught myself doing that over the weekend, and I saw I think it was just someone that was getting back into running, and their easy pace was my challenging pace. And so I thought, oh, this person's coming back from like a stress fracture or whatever it was, and she's running way faster than me. And here I am, not injured and a healthy runner, but I'm not running that fast. And I thought, what is this? Like, how is this helping me? How is focusing on this making me a better person? How is it making me run faster? Like, why am I wasting this energy worrying about what everyone else is doing when I could be spending that energy working on myself or doing some strength training instead of getting sucked into the hole of Instagram and comparing and stuff? And so I think, I've been really mindful of replacing negative thoughts with positive ones. And so I think it's important to step back as soon as you find yourself comparing yourself to others and thinking, okay, I acknowledge that I feel negatively about this, but how can this be positive? So on the flip side, well, I can work towards that pace being my easy pace, or I can work towards like a goal race that I have in the spring, or I can use this energy to pumping myself up for my run in the morning. And so just kind of making that mental shift from, like, you don't want to dwell too long. Yeah, it sucks that I'm not as fast as the next person on Instagram, but one day I will be. And you're always going to be kind of battling that. And so I think it's just really important to be conscious of those thoughts that you're having and switching them as soon as you find yourself getting into a negative space.
That's really, really, really great advice. I love that. And I actually feel like that's applicable into, you know, whatever scenario you may be comparing yourself in.
Oh, for sure.
So I kind of want to shift gears a little bit. And I'm super curious, and I'm sure everybody else is curious about your marathon training and how you decided that you want to run your first marathon, and how many have you ran, and how do you train for something like that? I'm sorry, that was like 5 questions in one, but like, it's just so fascinating.
That's okay. I tend to be a little bit rambly when I talk, as you can probably tell, so I'm sure I will cover it all in some way, shape, or form. But so marathon training, it took me a number of years before I actually signed up for the full marathon. I had ran, I think, 17 half marathons before I finally signed up for the full. And I don't know why, but I think it was just all in my head, and I was stuck at the half marathon distance, because any race is great. But I just kind of got into a bit of a comfort zone, I would say, with the half being my favorite distance. It was long enough for me. So the half was my favorite distance. It felt like I was working hard enough for a good amount of time where I could get some good speed in there, but I wasn't running for like 4+ hours, which would be a marathon. So it was Christmas Eve 2016, and I think I was watching a YouTube video about marathon training, and I thought, you know what, why can't that be me? Like, I've been running for a number of years, I'm pretty sure I can put in the time and do this marathon training. And so I don't know if I blacked out or what it was, but I was getting confirmation emails for registering for the Good Life Victoria Marathon. And then I was like, holy crap, now I actually have to put in the work and do this thing because I'm registered. And so usually a marathon training plan can be anywhere from like 18 weeks or less, like depending on your fitness. So I did a 17-week training plan, and I started in like mid-May of 2017, and then just gradually built up. And the marathon was during Canadian Thanksgiving weekend, which is like October 8th-ish, kind of right in that mark. So the marathon was on October 8th, which is Thanksgiving Sunday in Canada. And yeah, that's kind of how I signed up. It was scary, but I also felt like, it was weird, I almost felt like a weight was lifted off my shoulders, like, okay, I've done it. Now all there is to do is put in the work. So yeah, that's how the registration went.
And how many marathons have you ran since then?
I've only ran one. So after the marathon in October, I actually took 2 weeks off of running completely. I think I did like one upper body strength workout during that time. But I just wanted to give my body a good amount of time to rest. Even though I get stir crazy, it's hard for me to take a rest day because I think, okay, I should be doing yoga. I should be doing strength training. I could go for a long walk. But I guess that's just like the runner in me that always wants to constantly be doing something. So I'm undecided if I will do the marathon again in the fall. I do have a couple half marathons coming up in May, so I'm kind of working towards those right now. And to be honest, like, I'm a sucker for the medals and like the swag that they give you for marathons. And this is so silly, but I looked at the marathon sweater that they have for like this year's marathon, and I already have a shirt that's similar to that. So I was like, do I register just to get like a second version of this hoodie that I have already? So I mean, like, it's nothing against that marathon in particular. It's just, yeah, the more free stuff, the better. I mean, like, why else would I put myself through all that pain?
I totally agree with you.
Yeah, so it's such a silly mindset. But one of the girls in my run club, she's like, oh, yeah, if the medal is, like, not big enough, or it's not this, or the shirt is just, yeah, we can be very particular as runner people. So.
Well, you want to be rewarded for your, you know, all the work you put in, so.
Exactly, yeah.
So as far as like the marathon training, how did you find your particular plan? Did you just like go online and like Google a marathon training plan, or did you find like a YouTuber, or like how do you go about doing that?
So I found mine through, I follow, his name is Hal Higdon on Twitter, and he's like a running coach that's been coaching for years and years. And so I knew that people really liked the programs that he has. And so I initially started with his marathon, I think it was like marathon beginner program. And kind of halfway through, I switched to a training program that I actually found in Runner's World magazine, because I thought, okay, well, this mileage is kind of more what I want to run. In hindsight, I wish I had stayed with the Hal Higdon program, just because when you're about halfway through a marathon plan, your mileage is increasing a little bit more than 10% each week. So I was like getting into the thick of marathon training, and I don't think that was the best time to switch my plan. But Hal Higdon is definitely a good resource. Runnersworld.com, they have tons of coaches that put on their training plans online. So yeah, and if you have a coach that you work with, obviously they can make you a plan, but I'm self-coached. And so up until now, like, I just joined a run club in like beginning of January, where we actually have a coach that works with us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just didn't have a coach before. So I was just kind of on my own and looking at the resources that were online. And so, yeah, that's where I found my plan.
I'll definitely link to that, to those two websites in the show notes, mm-hmm, for anybody who wants to look those up.
Yeah, so, there's lots of good resources.
Yeah, because I feel like, you know, you need to start somewhere for a newbie. Like, you just wouldn't, mm-hmm, know. What are some other tips for newbie marathon racers that, you know, really want to start training for it, and maybe they have done a half marathon, maybe they haven't? Like, what would you recommend to them?
I would recommend, Number one, find your why. Why do you want to run this marathon? For me, it was a bucket list item that I had always wanted to do. I knew eventually one day that I would. The hardest part was just pushing myself to make that step of actually registering. So find your why and your motivation for running or wanting to do a marathon. If you're doing something because everyone else is doing it, but your heart isn't in it, maybe it's not the best thing, or maybe it's not the best time to do that right now. Find a plan that allows you to have, like, obviously you want to take rest days. You don't want to be overloading your body with too much mileage too soon. So start small and kind of build up from there. If you have access to a coach or even just a running group, I always thought that I would be a solo runner, and that's why I was so hesitant to join a running club. But now that I am part of the club, I always look forward to my group runs, and it's good to have that extra support system of people who understand what you're doing. Friends and family are great, but if they don't run, it's kind of like a, I don't know how to explain it, but it's not like a secret club or a sacred thing, but it's like runners, fellow runners just get it. And so if you have even, a run club or a support system that you can draw on when things get hard, that's always good too. And I would say nutrition is a big thing as well. So when you are training for a marathon, you want to make sure that you are eating good food that will sustain you no matter what your dietary needs are. It can be pretty easy to want to overload on junk food or super carb rich heavy things because, oh, I ran a 20 miler, so I'm going to eat a whole cake and donuts and this and that. But you want to be mindful of how that stuff is going to make you feel and how it's going to affect your training. So good whole foods, quality proteins, fiber, fats, all that good stuff. So
that was actually going to be my next question. So I'm so glad you hit on that. I constantly hear like the term carb loading, and I've done 5Ks. That's really been the extent of my running. I haven't done like half marathon or anything, so I haven't had to really carb load. But what's the whole premise and like concept behind like carb loading be for your big race?
Yeah, so carb loading is, I've heard that it's most effective doing it like 2 to 3 days out from a marathon or a half marathon, whatever race you're doing, just to build the glycogen stores in your body, which your body draws off of glycogen and carbohydrates and sugars and everything when you're running. But you also like, I think when people hear carb loading, they think, oh, this person just eating a massive bowl of spaghetti and
pasta,
a little
bread.
And, and while I definitely love, like, spaghetti is my go-to meal before a race, but the night before I might have, like, chicken and sweet potatoes and, like, some kind of, like, broccoli or cauliflower, some kind of veggie just to get those good carbs. Like, it doesn't always have to come from a bagel or pasta or bread. And so I think it's just kind of preparing your body for that big race and having more glycogen in your system to draw from while you're running for forever.
So what about injuries? I feel like it's inevitable to, you know, whatever sport you're participating in, you incur injuries. So have you incurred any injuries in any of your training since you have been doing this for 8+ years?
Yeah, so I haven't had any big injuries. During marathon training last year, I did have, I guess, like, it's more of just a tight muscle, but it's called your piriformis muscle. And it's like this tiny little muscle that's like deep in the belly of your glutes. So it's like a tiny little muscle that can cause big pain that can radiate to your hip. And if you have tight hips, then that can affect everything. If your glute muscles aren't properly firing, so meaning you're mostly relying on like your hips and your quads and your hamstrings to propel you rather than actually using your butt when you're going up a hill. that little muscle caused me a little bit of grief through, I guess, the last 3 months of my marathon training. So I was seeing an athletic therapist for that. She did like a lot of really painful massage in that area, but I think it was definitely a good choice for me to seek out that help. Otherwise, like, I wouldn't have known what was going on. And so she gave me some stretches and strength training things to do. And so I've been trying to do all of the little things to help ward off injuries. Right now I'm dealing with really tight calf muscles, which on my right leg has been pulling on my, I guess, my right ankle tendon. So it causes my ankle just to get a little bit cranky and sore if I'm going up and down hills or if I'm running really fast. So again, I've been seeing the athletic therapist for that. She's been giving me some really good things to do to kind of loosen everything up. And that's just a big part of injury prevention, is doing all the little tedious things that you don't want to do to stay injury free. So whether that is foam rolling, or I have this contraption called the Roll 8 Recovery, and it's like a massaging clamp essentially that you can put on your leg or your calf or wherever, and it gives you like a mock deep tissue massage. So I've been doing that, and Epsom salt baths, icing if anything is achy. Yeah, you just want to keep your body as healthy as possible. Doing your strength training, stretching, it all kind of fits together into the big picture of injury prevention.
I love that. And do you also incorporate yoga for that reason as well, or is that kind of like separate and apart?
Yes, I love yoga. There's a studio in my town or city, and they offer this class called the Core Hips and Hamstrings class. So it's perfect for athletes, runners, anybody that is prone to getting tight hips, or like for me, I work a desk job, and so my hips can get really tight at the end of the day. So yeah, incorporating yoga is a good way to, it's a great way to cross train, stretch your body, and just like unwind. I mean, yoga is great for a lot of things, and I mean, running is definitely meditative in its own way, but I feel like yoga is just such a nice complement for running and everything in life. So I would definitely encourage anyone who is a runner to take up a yoga class, or even a home practice, a little bit at a time can go a long way.
I totally agree with that. And I would imagine that yoga is probably extremely beneficial for you, because going from one extreme to sitting at a desk all day, which I can totally relate to, is just not good for your body, to like running, you know, 10 plus miles, that's such an extreme. So it's nice that you do fit in yoga at, you know, at that middle ground.
Yeah. And it can be hard to fit yoga in there. And, but then if I go like a week without it, when I finally do yoga, I always think, oh, why did I wait a week to do this? Because this feels so good.
Me and my husband talk about that all the time. We're like, we go to yoga so often, and then like if we take like a week off because we're on vacation or whatever, and we come back, we're like, oh my God, why is it so hard again? Like, why?
Yeah.
Like, we go all the time.
Yeah. Even when I was going through, like, first going through this whole ankle thing, I had like a week long pity party for myself, until I was like, you know what, just make an appointment, see the athletic therapist. Life is not as hard as you're making it out to be. And she gave me the green light to keep running. She's like, yeah, it's all good. Just do your stretches, do this, do that. You don't need to take like a month off of running. It's okay. And so I waited like a week before I went out for another run. And when I did, I was super happy to be out there, but I just felt so out of shape. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm starting from ground zero. I'm starting from scratch. And I can be a little bit dramatic, but, you know, I got to have that moment. But now I'm fine. Now I feel good.
So it's actually interesting, because I started following your running journey, I think, at the beginning of your marathon, or a little bit before your marathon training. And it's because I stumbled upon your blog. And
awesome.
Then I started listening to your podcast. So how did you decide that you wanted to start, like, capturing your journey? And, like, what made you decide to do that?
Yeah, so my blogging story, I actually started off wanting to be a fashion blogger, which is kind of hysterical because I'm wearing sweatpants with holes in them right now. And I think I was like 16 when I first started my blog. It was called HLD Fashion, which is Holly Lynn Douglas Fashion. And I honestly, I just wanted to be like Lauren Conrad and Whitney Port and, you know, go to FIDM or whatever that school was. And I just thought, oh my God, I'm going to move to Vancouver. I'm going to go to the city and I'm going to do this. And I was reading like Fashion Toast and a bunch of those fashion bloggers. And I thought, I'm going to start a fashion blog too. And so that's how I kind of got started into blogging. But then running kind of took that over. And I was training, I was living in Vancouver with my ex-boyfriend. And, yeah, I was training for my first half marathon. And I thought, you know what, this is more important than fashion to me. And so I guess that's kind of where my whole lifestyle shifted into, you know, maybe I should do a running blog and maybe I can experiment with fitness classes. And I became more interested in nutrition and wellness. And so, yeah, I guess that would be 2012 that my blog shifted.
No way.
Yeah, that it shifted from fashion to, hey guys, I'm training for a half marathon. And I don't think I did any fashion posts after that. Even now on the blog, I started off my blog on blogspot.com, and a couple of years ago I made the switch from Blogspot to WordPress. And so I think that was a really smart move because I've been able to kind of customize my blog for how I want it to represent myself and the Healthy Living Holly brand, I guess you could say. And it's just been a lot more fun sharing that side of me because I'm not a fashionable person in real life. Like, I love to just throw on like a nice white tee, maybe some necklaces, jeans, and Converse shoes, and like I'm ready for the day. So I would say the fashion blogging was definitely a phase, but the running and the healthy living is definitely a better representation of who I am.
I love that. So for anybody who wants to start blogging or podcasting about their marathon training or just kind of like in the health and wellness space, do you have any either book recommendation, podcast recommendations, like anything of that sort for them?
Yeah, so I would say I didn't really get into podcasting right away. It was just something I kind of threw myself into because I was listening to so many podcasts and I thought, like, everything, well, that person's doing it, so why don't I just give it a try? And so honestly, I think I'm the kind of person where if I plan something way too much, then I just get overwhelmed and I don't end up doing anything. So if you're anything like that, just start your blog, just start your podcast, just start your personal training certification, start your yoga teacher training certification. Because as soon as you have that thought, you already kind of have that fire inside of you to do it. So why not just follow that? Now that I've kind of started on my blogging and I guess I kind of do the podcasting thing, I've been off of it for a while, but it is something that I miss a lot. Now that I've been doing that for a couple of years, the blogging part, not so much the podcasting, but I've really taken some good tips from the Skinny Confidential Him and Her podcast, which is always a good one for business and lifestyle and all kinds of tips. But I particularly like their blogging and business tips. Other than that, with podcasts, I don't listen to a lot of business ones. Yeah, there's like a few running podcasts that I like, but I would just say for a blogging and podcasting point of view, just start with what you have. Like I started, I think I had an iPhone 4 when I first started blogging, and that was my camera. I've since upgraded to like a nicer Nikon camera where if I'm doing like flat lays or I want a certain shot, I'll use that camera. But I use my phone for a lot of things. And I think, yeah, if you have a question, I'm the queen of Googling everything. So I just Google things that I need, or I look to other bloggers and podcasters for advice. And if I need a hand, then reach out, because I find that most people are pretty open with sharing and they're pretty pretty apt to helping other people. So yeah, I hope I answered.
No, that was really good advice.
Totally went on some tangents.
I meant to ask you this before. So what do you listen to when you run? Are you like someone who just likes it to be silent and you get caught up in your thoughts, or do you have like playlists that you listen to?
I guess I'm half and half when it comes to running with music. Sometimes, I'll like make a playlist on Spotify or something and listen to that if I feel like I need some extra motivation. Twice a week I run with my run club, so I don't use any music and I just end up chatting with my fellow runners. And so, but if I'm running early in the morning, I don't listen to music, simply for safety reasons, and I want to hear everything that's going on around me. If I'm on the treadmill, I have a pretty sweet treadmill setup at home, if I do say so myself. We have like this giant shed in the backyard. And so like when I say shed, it's not some like shady shack. It's like a separate building in our backyard. But my boyfriend Ryan hooked it up with a TV and we've got like surround sound in there. And so the treadmill's in there and I can stream YouTube or Netflix to that TV, get my treadmill running, catch up on Gilmore Girls or whatever I want to watch. So sometimes I'll listen to music, sometimes I'll watch TV on a treadmill run. But yeah, most of the time I just like to kind of unplug when I'm on the run.
Yeah, I can definitely appreciate that. I'm the same way. Sometimes I like to like really listen to my music, and other times I just want like complete silence. I just like want to get zen and like really take in all the quiet, because you don't get a lot of quiet in the day.
Exactly. It's a nice little escape sometimes. And when I was doing my long runs for marathon training, I would kind of switch between podcasts and music. So it's kind of nice to have that variety, but I also listen to a lot of podcasts while I'm driving to work in the morning. So that's a good place where I like to get a little bit of extra learning before my day starts.
I love that. So I have one last question for you. And that is, what is your favorite flavor of kombucha?
I love a good ginger kombucha. Gingerade by, I think it's GTS. I'm really not sure, but I do like that one. There's another flavor. It's like a mint and chlorophyll. That's a pretty good one. I think the kombucha brand is called Rise. But yeah, that's a pretty good flavor too.
I'll have to try both of those out.
yeah, they're really good. The ginger one could make a good cocktail. I have yet to try it, but I just have an inkling that it would be very tasty.
I'm all about the kombucha cocktails.
Totally, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. I totally appreciate it.
Thank you so much. It was lots of fun.